It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around.
This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show,
Micah was outside of Jerusalem. He was out in the agrarian countryside, and he was speaking truth to power from the outside. So he was the people's prophet, and again, was somewhat unusual in that regard. And I quoted from him at my investiture, and I said that, you know, if he came back as a lawyer in Virginia in 2010, he would not be at the office of the Attorney General or at the Supreme Court. I said, in fact, I thought that he would be at the Virginia Poverty Law Center.
The Honorable Justice of the Supreme Court of Virginia, William Mims, presents his keynote address to the Virginia State Bar about the importance of legal aid work at the annual Legal Aid Awards honoring the Legal Aid Attorney of the Year. And you'll also find out about the much simpler rules and process if you have to sue somebody in the small claims court during this week's question and answer period. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 171, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. Last week, the Justice Department announced its largest ever disability-based housing discrimination lawsuit settlement fund to resolve allegations that JPI Construction and six other JPI entities based in Irving, Texas, discriminated on the basis of disability in the design and construction of multifamily housing complexes throughout the U.S. Under the settlement, which was approved June 16 by the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas, JPI will pay $10 million into an accessibility fund to provide retrofits at properties built by JPI and to increase the stock of accessible housing in the communities where these properties are located. The settlement also requires JPI to pay a $250,000 civil penalty. This is the largest civil penalty the Justice Department has obtained in any Fair Housing Act case. According to the Justice Department, builders of multifamily housing must consider accessibility at the outset or risk significantly greater expense to retrofit properties. As a result of the settlement, multifamily housing complexes will be retrofitted to comply with the Fair Housing Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act, and persons with physical disabilities will be afforded an equal opportunity to live in and visit these properties. In other news, effective June 25, 2012, the Labor and Employment Law Division of the Virginia Department of Labor and Industry no longer will administer Virginia's Payment of Wage Act. According to the department's website, claims concerning minimum wage or overtime should be directed to the U.S. Department of Labor's Wage and Hour Division at 1-866-487-9243 for assistance or www.dol.gov. The website goes on to state that if people believe they have a claim for unpaid wages that is a minimum of $2,500 and have documentary evidence to support their allegation, assistance may be provided by calling special counsel at 1-877-VA-WAGE-4. A claim form may also be obtained online at www.vawageclaim.com. What the website does not say is that the special counsel's office, the law firm of Dunlap, Grubb, and Weaver, will have discretion in taking cases and will take one-third of whatever they recover. As always, claims can be pursued by people on their own, by themselves, and without an attorney in the regular division of the General District Court if they are $25,000 or less, and in the small claims division of the General District Court, where lawyers are not allowed, if they are $5,000 or less. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegebright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is uninsured motorist. An uninsured motorist is a motor vehicle driver or owner who does not have an auto insurance policy with the state minimum liability limits. Every person registering an uninsured motor vehicle has to pay an uninsured motorist fee of $500 at the time of registration. Payment of this fee allows a motor vehicle owner to operate an uninsured motor vehicle. Payment of this fee does not provide the motorist with any insurance coverage. If involved in an accident, the uninsured motorist remains personally liable. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and uninsured motorist is this week's legal term of the week.
If you're just joining us, this is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 Richmond Independent Radio. It's now time for our weekly question and answer session, and we're here in the studio with a questioner. Tell us your first name and where you're from.
My name is Nicole, and I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
What question do you have for us this week?
I'm just curious as to how to go about obtaining money that's over a year old. My husband and I purchased a home, and we were supposed to receive, I guess it would be considered rent money from the person who was living there, and we have not received it yet.
And was this agreement to get rent money, was it oral? Was it in writing?
It was in writing.
Well, that's good. The fact that it's in writing means that you are well within what's called the statute of limitations. The statute of limitations, that is the period within which you can bring a lawsuit, is 5 years on a writing. But you're also well within the statute of limitations for an oral agreement because that limitations period is 3 years, and your claim is barely more than a year old. The best way to sue someone for money is to go to the small claims division of the general district court for the city or county where the person either lives or where the claim arose. You can do this on your own, by yourself, without an attorney, with a small filing fee. And if you can't afford the filing fee, you can ask the clerk for what's called Form CC-1414, and the judge can let you file the case for free. The reason I advise people to file in the small claims court, there are three reasons. The first is that there are no attorneys at all allowed in the small claims court. So you won't have an attorney, but the other side won't have one either. The second is that you get a much quicker trial. In the regular division of the general district court, on the first court date, if it is a contested case, the case is not heard then and there, but is scheduled for a later trial, which often can be 3 or 4 months later. In the small claims division, the trial is heard on the first court date, which is usually about 3 weeks after you file. The third reason for a small claims court is that the rules of evidence are very much relaxed. The judge is not concerned about things like hearsay or business records or things of that nature. The judge will simply let you present your case the best way you know how. Now, there is a limitation On the small claims court, you can sue for only up to $5,000. If your claim is for more than that, you can sue for up to $25,000 in the regular division of the general district court. But you do have all of those disadvantages of lawyers being involved and of having a much later trial date and having to deal with the rules of evidence. So that's why I recommend the small claims court. Is that helpful?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, that's this week's question and answer. For 20 years, the Virginia State Bar has honored the Legal Aid Attorney of the Year, and this year, the keynote speaker was both notable and memorable, as the Honorable Justice of the Supreme Court of Virginia, William Mims, spoke to the Virginia State Bar on June 15 about the importance of legal aid work. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show was there, and here is Justice Mims' address.
I must say, I was a little bit concerned about speaking this year, speaking after Larry Harley. Now, it has been a year, but it might be the best speech that I've ever heard, at least in this sort of a context. A couple of people are nodding. And I was afraid people would remember what Larry had to say. And in particular, I'm not even going to try to tell jokes. I'm just going to repeat a couple of his. If you'll recall, Larry talking about once getting child support for his client's pet chimpanzee. I mean, that doesn't happen very often in Virginia, I got to tell you. Or when his daughter wanted to change her name legally from Catherine to Sarah. And yeah, somebody else is laughing over this one. Wanted to change her name legally from Catherine to Sarah, and he actually worked up a document and convinced her that there had been a mix-up in the court and that at least until he could get back into court, she was Ralph. Okay, those are Larry's jokes. But I will say this. I must admit, I still get nervous when I give a talk. I think, I fret, I pray. I usually work out my remarks where I write them out almost verbatim. And in fact, the only time I do them definitely completely just exactly as I'm going to say them is either for a high school graduation speech or last week when I was called upon to do a short sermon at a wedding that I performed. I wanted to make sure that I didn't mix up a single word where these people would be upset with me for the rest of their lives. But some talks are what I call let the force be with you talks. And that really is what this is today. Those are talks where I'm either passionate about the topic. For example, if I'm talking about children's mental health reform, I don't even have to have notes, but I couldn't limit it to 12 minutes. Or where I'm in front of a very special audience. And the interesting thing about today is that I feel that both of those are present. This is a topic that we are all passionate about, and you are indeed an extraordinary audience. And I just want to, that's why I wanted to be here, and that's why I was so happy to be asked to talk. My topic today is justice. As you may have guessed, that's what we're all about. But what we are all about talking about justice, and the important thing about you is that you live it. All of us talk the talk. You walk the walk on a day-to-day basis, and that is just so worthy of being saluted at an event like this, and particularly our two extraordinary awardees. Mother Teresa said that the only real success is faithfulness. And we often think of success in terms of how much money have you earned, how much property have you acquired, how many cases have you won, how much acclaim have you received. Those of you in this room know that that is not how success is measured. And I think that all of us in the bar can learn from you and the example that you set in that regard. My favorite passage in Scripture is Micah 6:8, and I know many of you know it and have committed it to heart. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before God. Now, I want to just spend a few minutes talking about that because there's really a little bit more to it than first meets the ear. First of all, Micah was a pretty cool guy. He was known as the people's prophet, And those who understand more about the Bible than I will tell you that most prophets were at the court. If you recall the prophet Isaiah, he begins his book talking about in the year that King Uzziah died. Well, that's because he and King Uzziah were pretty tight. Daniel, in his book, it talks about the Babylonian captivity and Nebuchadnezzar. And then over and over again, the prophets are talking to, they are speaking truth to power from the inside. Micah was outside of Jerusalem. He was out in the agrarian countryside, and he was speaking truth to power from the outside. So he was the people's prophet, and again, was somewhat unusual in that regard. And I quoted from him at my investiture, and I said that, you know, if he came back as a lawyer in Virginia in 2010, he would not be at the office of the Attorney General or at the Supreme Court. I said, in fact, I thought that he would be at the Virginia Poverty Law Center. Subsequently, I've actually had to reconsider that. And the reason that I've had to reconsider that, there's... No, Mike is not there, is he? Okay, my friends are over here going, nah. And the reason I've had to consider that is that actually implied a dichotomy between the Office of the Attorney General and the Supreme Court and the Poverty Law Center, or legal aid generally. And I've been reading an extraordinary book called Generous Justice by Timothy Keller. Tim Keller is a pastor of a huge church in New York City that's very much about justice. And based upon this reading, I'm starting to understand that justice properly understood does not have a dichotomy between that which is done at legal aid and that which is done throughout the rest of the justice system. That it is, in fact, one unity if we truly live it the way that it is intended to be lived. In the West, we think of, at least I think of, have typically thought of two things, what I would call orderly justice, or law and order, rules, the criminal justice system, broadly speaking, and then much of the civil justice system. And then there is a separate concept of social justice, which really implies more the welfare system or human services and where the law intersects with those. For Micah, there was no dichotomy. Justice, true justice, embraced both of those concepts. Now, I'm going to now mention two Hebrew words, and I'm not trying to impress, because in fact they come directly from the book, and I don't know exactly how to pronounce them, so I'm definitely not going to impress if any of you went to Hebrew school. So when I say them, if somebody just kind of smirks or, you know, laughs quietly, you'll know that I mispronounced them, but I'm doing the best I can with what I got off the internet. It's my story and I'm sticking to it. For Micah, justice was the word mishpat. And mishpat in Hebrew was both order with fairness, it was rules with mercy, and it was law with equity. And in the Bible, the term mishpat appears more than 200 times. Its most basic meaning is to treat people equitably, either acquitting them or punishing them according to the merits of the case, to give them their rights regardless of their social status. And I'm now going to read directly from the book because, frankly, I can't say it, I cannot paraphrase it any better than it is said here. Over and over again, Mishpat describes taking up the care and cause of widows, orphans, immigrants, and the poor. If any of you have been watching CNN this morning, it's particularly timely talking about this. Those who have been called the quartet of the vulnerable. The mishpat, or justness of a society, according to the Bible, is evaluated by how it treats these groups. God loves and defends those with the least economic and social power, and so should we. That is what it means to do justice. If that is doing justice, what does it mean to love mercy? Again, where I used to think of a dichotomy between orderly justice and social justice, as I would quote that scripture, I would also think of potentially a dichotomy between doing justice and loving mercy. Kind of like you close one file folder. Well, I've finished up at work. I've done justice, and now I'm going to change clothes and I'm going to go volunteer my time, and that will be loving mercy. You check off a justice box and a mercy box. But just as I said, there's no dichotomy. There is a unity between orderly justice and social justice. In fact, there is also a unity between justice and mercy. Justice, mishpat, means action. It's what you do. Mercy, okay, here's the second word, if anybody smirks. Chesed. Did I do that right? If anyone, can somebody nod and say, yeah. Did I? Cool. All right. That is the attitude. And interestingly enough, it also translates into English as loving kindness. So the one is what you do. The other is the attitude that you have in doing it. So consequently, true justice would be applying law with equity, order with fairness, motivated by mercy, kindness, and love. Once we truly understand true justice as a society, as a profession, how do we live it? For those of us who talk the talk, what do we take from you who walk the walk in order to do it better? Well, I'm going to give the last word to Larry Harley, The Gospel According to Larry. Here is how he closed a year ago, because I think this is the key that I've been searching for. We are each called to transform our communities, to bear witness to fairness and equality. This is the hope of justice, that we never cease trying to change the world. And it can be done. We do it step by step, one client treated with dignity at a time, one misuse of power confronted at a time, one stereotype challenged at a time, one principled stand at a time. You didn't become legal aid lawyers just to win cases for low-income people. You became legal aid lawyers to change the world. And as the poet Mary Oliver might ask, tell me, what is it you would rather do with your one wild and precious life? Yours is a wild and precious life of meaningfulness. You do justice, you love mercy, and you walk humbly. You have chosen the better course. I salute you. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Honorable Justice of the Supreme Court of Virginia, William Mims, as he spoke to the Virginia State Bar about the importance of legal aid work at the annual ceremony honoring the Legal Aid Attorney of the Year on June 15. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's top three tips are about a bill of particulars. The first tip is that bill of particulars is a written statement giving details of a lawsuit filed in a general district court. It's a more complete explanation of why the person filing the lawsuit call the plaintiff should get the money or property being requested. The second tip is that if the judge orders a plaintiff to file a bill of particulars, the plaintiff will have a later trial date and time, and also will have a date by which to file the bill of particulars.
The third tip is that if the plaintiff doesn't file by this date, the lawsuit may be dismissed. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King. And for this week, that's our top three tips about a bill of particulars.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. This show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegebright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. For 20 years, the Virginia State Bar has honored the Legal Aid Attorney of the Year, and this year, two legal aid attorneys were so honored. Join us next week when we present the acceptance speech of one of the co-winners, Peyton Whiteley, from Legal Services of Northern Virginia, as he accepted his award on June 15, 2012. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegebright.